club. But Rocket Eater is with us after round 21. Good morning to you, Rocket.
Hi, Half. Jimmy, how are you, mate?
Good, yourself?
Good, buddy.
Good. Nice to have you with us, because there's plenty happening now, because we find ourselves, at this stage of the year, we're always doing permutations, calculations.
And state of flux.
State of flux. I like that. That's what we are at the moment, because we don't actually know what's going to happen. Are
you three any... teams just didn't take their chances, did they?
There was a bit of vomit all over themselves at three teams, wasn't there? There was a clean-up in aisle three.
Oh, gee, that might have to bring the backhoes out, put some more foundations, I think.
Who vomited the hardest, Rocket?
For me, it's Melbourne.
Yes.
I was hoping it's... No, because that's
what I think.
Yeah, I know, but you don't like them.
That's not true.
Yeah, you don't like
them,
Daniel.
That's not true. I'm far from...
What? How come, Daniel? How come you don't like them?
That's far from the truth. I respect them. I just thought, like you, that they were the most disappointing on the weekend.
Yes. Port showed a lot of character and had some injuries and only were behind at the end, but that's costly to them. And really, the shin boners as well.
Yeah.
That was a disappointing 28 points up at half time, playing for a final spot. Should not have let that happen. But for me, Melbourne haven't beaten a top eight side. That's the most damning stat, I think. And at home, again. They've played well away, but at home. So it's a really worrying time for them.
Yeah. Melbourne, I find when you watch them that they seem to be drilled, all right, we're going to kick long to a contest. So that's all they do. As a coach, how do you give instruction but without them taking it so literally that they actually don't, you know, change within the game or make their decisions on the move?
One, you've got to train it. Mm. You've got to train that to say, listen, this is A and B, this is our main style, but if there's a hit up or we're going to change during a game or the way that the opposition defend. And I think Sydney did that. They didn't spread it early, but they, after quarter time, they, from a 40, say, or 50 to 80 out, that was such a void that Melbourne didn't defend.
Mm.
And Sydney went wide a little bit and came back through that corridor space. Melbourne, I think, were panicking about defending the high ball. And they obviously played Pedersen. So Sydney reacted. So the other way, Melbourne didn't change the method at all. They just went long, because especially when Johnson was off, they thought, well, Hogan, McDonald, that's where they're going to get their goals. But Sydney do defend the high ball really well, and they should have been able to change that.
So further that, should we not be surprised, because this is Melbourne making that transition, I guess, over the last couple of years from being a very poor side to a good side. They're trying to be, you know, one of the contenders. Should we be surprised that they can't make these adjustments in-game at the moment?
Yes, we should be, yeah.
So you expect more out of Melbourne?
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure. See, I expect more out of Melbourne.
Because I think this is an interesting thing, and we're sort of having a bit of fun with Half, because Jimmy and I are on one side of the fence and Half's on the other a bit with Melbourne. And Simon Goodwin made interesting comments after the game by sort of saying, well, that's we are where we are because we're not as good as people think we are, kind of. I'm paraphrasing it a little bit, but it's sort of like, well...
And that's fair. Yeah, I agree with that.
So I'm of the view that maybe they're just not good enough yet. Like, that they're not disappointing. It's just that's their level.
That's where I'm going with it. Like, it's not letting Melbourne off the hook at all, because I think they certainly have the talent and the ability to do it. But are we seeing a side that is going through those growing pains as they have been over the last couple of years to become a genuine finals contender? Or do we expect them to be a top four or five side already?
No. I don't expect them to be a top four side, but they should be able to beat a couple of top eight teams.
It really is a damning stat.
Really. They're going to. So in other words, it says to me that they've got a very good draw. They've taken advantage of teams below them, and they didn't beat Geelong either, who were ninth. So the top nine teams haven't beaten anyone. And they find themselves a sixth or seventh on the ladder because they've played bottom teams.
That's right.
They should be able to beat a couple of top eight sides to cement fifth, sixth, or seventh spot on the ladder. And that's where I think they're at.
And I think that's the question for the three of you that I had was, is Melbourne, are they where they are because they've benefited off a good draw and they're just they're in the eight because of the draw? Or should they actually be higher and they're underperforming with the team they've got?
They're the best of the middle six, if that makes any sense.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
If they can't beat seventh and eighth.
Ninth.
But the results say, as you asked, they have just benefited off a good draw. They haven't proven anything else apart from that, have they?
Well, no, they haven't. And I thought they'd beat Sydney really easily yesterday. And Sydney lose Johnson and also Smith in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And you think, well, I know it's not all about betting, but live betting, it was minus 30 points at quarter time. That's how the punters saw it, that Melbourne were going to win by a straight. So the fact that they couldn't get that done, that's an underperforming performance. But I wonder how many more of those have been underperforming or whether that's just their level. That's the question.
I know it's always a dangerous way to look at it, but you also look at the talent on their list and the way they have played at times, that they should be able to perform better. So they've got the benefit of a good draw, but really with the talent they've got, and they had enough chances yesterday as well to win.
Yeah.
They lose by 2 points to Geelong at Geelong when they're five goals up. So there might be growing pains, but I still think they've underperformed to the talent they've got on the list and what they've been able to show at times. To me, I don't know about top four, but they should at the moment have cemented a top eight spot, and they haven't done that.
All right, I want to ask you half first. What are they deficient in?
Well, the connection midfield to forward is an issue for me, but I think it's their transition defence. That's where I see the biggest issue. I was interested to hear you say that they were just bombing down the line a bit yesterday, Jim. One of the things I've admired about Melbourne is the way they've cut the ball back through the middle and used that 45 and tried to open the game up really quite boldly. Not doing that against Sydney obviously wasn't very effective. I think their transition defence is their major issue, but connection forward can be a bit of a cross for them as well. And certainly yesterday, at halftime, they were 3-12. And we know Sydney are one of the great absorbing defensive 50 teams in the competition, but that's going to have a couple of areas I reckon they need to improve if they're going to be a contender any stage soon.
Jimmy, what do they need to improve in? Where are they deficient?
Yeah, I think in transition defence, further to Half's point, I think when the game gets tight, they all then just go hunt the football, contested footy, because you hear all the talk coming out of Melbourne, it's contested footy, it's clearances. And what they do is they double down on that, and they're all trying to do the right thing. But, you know, when they freeze the camera shot, they get 7-8 players within a metre or 2 metres of the ball, so they actually lose their method around the contest. Now, when they lose that and they turn the footy over, they get outspread on the outside. So that's what happened yesterday. They all just hunted the footy. Sydney won the footy back, and then they just knocked it around by kicking and marking and picking their way through it. And then their defence still hasn't adjusted since Lever came out of that side. Like, he only played a handful of games. But they were too far off. Like, they gave the leg rope out as a defensive unit. They're still trying to find their back six. But I just reckon, I think it's the growing pains, as I said, going back on that point, that they get told, we've got to win the contested footy and we've got to go long to a contest, so they just keep hammering away at that and they don't adjust it. And that's just the maturity of the side. I don't think they're a mature side yet.
But yeah, but if they're a literal learner too, they should be then told at half time, let's hit the lead up. Let's hit the player coming at you. So therefore, if they're literal, which I reckon they went into the plan that Sydney are short in defence, and then exacerbated with Johnson. Mm. We've got Hogan, we've got McDonald, let's get it in long.
Mm.
But then it wasn't working. Let's change that. So if they are literal listeners, that they should be able to adapt to that, whether they were told that. But I thought they defended as well. They defended too deep.
Yes.
Like you're saying. So I think they're worried about the long ball on Franklin, and they open up all this space from 40 to 70 out, which is the launch pad. And then Sydney were able to adjust, and that's where they went to. And that left space for Franklin to lead into, but also other players were spare there.
There's an interesting text that says Melbourne are where they are because Adelaide and Geelong have had poor years, and I actually don't necessarily disagree with that.
But if you're Melbourne and you're the defensive coach, you're looking 121 marks for the Swans. That's an enormous number.
It's shocking.
That's too much space.
Well, they're just defending deep, isn't it?
Which, in other words, they're collapsing as a defence.
Exactly.
They're collapsing, and I've got a saying, you've got to come forward to defend.
Yep.
You've got to come forward to defend. You can't go back. Mm. And they've gone back and left all this void for Sydney to pick them off.
Mm. They would have had massive GPS numbers, and it would have been all just running up to man the mark. Because that's what it looked like live on the weekend. And Rocket was spot on that you looked where the ball carrier had the ball, you know, obviously he's taken a mark in the middle of the ground, and then you look down to the Swans forward line, and they were just all folding back so deep. Well, they had two or three goalkeepers.
Yeah.
You didn't need that. Yeah, as Rock is saying, you've got to push up and put some pressure on the kicker.
I want to ask you and Rocket, I'm on radio, I forgot.
You and you.
And Rocket, you are coaches. how do you coach players to own the moment? Because I look at Melbourne and think, does Jesse Hogan own big moments? Christian Petracca had a couple of opportunities as well. Melbourne have got some really good players, but I reckon a lot of the time, you know, whether it's kicking that important goal or that kick inside 50 to set up the important goal, how do you coach them to be better at that? Or is that just a personality-based thing that you either can or you can't?
I'd like to hear Rocket's take first.
I think it's twofold. I think it's a bit of both. I think some players are poised and calm and then through experience that will go. To me, if you do the basics well over and over and you coach the basics and they get that, then when there's a pressure situation, they're more likely to own it. When they've got a bit of flair and it's all flair and it's all tricks, when the moment comes, it's a risk. You don't know whether it's going to happen or not. So I'm a really strong believer, and without this bloke next to me, did the basics extremely well, but when there was a moment that actually stood up to do that, and there's so many examples of good players who do that because they do the basics well. The ones who have got the tricks, and that's all they've got, you can't rely on them.
Yeah, I don't think you can coach necessarily the moment owning, but it's the fundamentals. It comes back to your mindset of a fundamental. You're just going to do the same thing over and over again. It's what you need to be doing, regardless of the situation, the jumper, the scoreboard, the conditions. You just want players who can do that. So it's not so much owning the moment, it's just doing what you need to do at that time, even though sometimes there'll be more pressure moments than others. I think there is an element of personality to it. I think that's what Rocket's saying with the tricks. If you're a player with tricks and you're in and out and you're flair, but you're not real substance, sort of meat and potatoes, you haven't got that meat and potatoes element, then I think you are vulnerable. But I'm not sure you can coach it as such, but you just need to trust the fundamentals.
Because it was interesting, I thought, in that game late yesterday afternoon, Hanbury, Kennedy, Franklin really stood up and owned some big moments for them. But then some of the youngsters also had.
But it wasn't
some
spectacular,
big
was it?
No, it wasn't. Really, no, simple.
It was in the basics. So the Sydney youngsters are learning basics,
and that's my point.
And
yeah,
that's why their rookies are doing well. They're coming to a system where they're expected to do their play their role and do what's expected of you when that moment comes. That's so if you just do that, don't have to be the best player. Just do what is expected of you, and you'll have your chance to show your flair when it opens. But you get the basics right. You do the ordinary things extraordinarily well. Things will work out for you.
So young McCartan kicked that freak goal when he's lying on the ground last week to get over the line against Collingwood. But then that young McCartan, same guy, in defence, took a really important mark, which is your meat and potatoes sort of stuff. But a couple of those young Sydney players just did the right thing at the right time in pressure situations, whereas some of Melbourne's players that have been around a while didn't show that same composure under pressure.
An example for me of of the competition is players who want to try to kick goals around their body from a mark or a free kick 20 out, and have got no routine. They just random, just play on. And even Jordan DeGoey did it on the weekend. Yep. Like, to me, that's why do that? That to me is just flair, and it's just rain the last week, and that's why I didn't cut him any slack. It wasn't the fact he missed, he didn't go back. If you're going to kick, if you're going to do that kick, A, have practiced it, B, have a routine, and then go back and own the moment. But it's like, well, I don't want to own the moment. I'll just kick it, and if it comes off, it comes off.
Yeah.
And
give yourself an out.
And that's Jai Simkin, I think, yesterday. There was a whole range of different... It's creeping into the game too much because it's like I don't want to own the moment. It's that. It's like I've got an excuse because if I kick it around my body, well, that's an excuse because the kick's too difficult.
And we want these teams to come up and put pressure on the teams that have been in there and done that, like Hawthorn and Sydney and these sorts of things. But I reckon Port Adelaide's very similar to Melbourne, that they've got these players that play really exciting footy, but when the moment's there for them, they're not there.
Do they play exciting footy anymore, Port Adelaide? I don't think they do.
Port, yeah, I'm not buying Port.
As an exciting football team, I think they've got a fair bit of character.
I think they've got exciting players.
Yeah,
but
they played exciting footy 3 or 4 years ago. I reckon they've stopped that. They don't score 100 very often.
No, they don't. No.
They don't score 100 with the talent they've got in their forward line. And I think they play a possession game that goes wide and let. Now, they had 30 more possessions than West Coast and had 15 less inside 50s. So they're going via the Cape. And they're not getting it down to, well, Dixon's out now, but Dixon, Wingard, Gray, they've got some talent there, but they actually go via the cup. So I don't think they play exciting footy like they did.
We'll keep talking about that game after the break, but Melbourne's numbers are a concern. Their results away from the G, R&D's done this for us, which is fantastic. So their wins away from the G, 26, 36, 39, 69, 91, 49, lost by 10, 54-point win, lost by 2, 13-point win. But their performance at the G, where they're losing games of footy.
Relocation
plan.
Oh, they can go to Tassie.
Tassie, there we go.
And the form against top eight teams for the current top eight. Richmond are 5-3. West Coast are 7-2. GWS 4-3. Hawthorn 3-4. Collingwood 1-6. Sydney are 6-2 against top eight teams. And Melbourne are zipping 7.
How did Sydney lose the Gold Coast? That's going to cost them top four spots.
That's a very fine question you are. Port Adelaide are 3-4 and Geelong are 6-6. Even Stevens in the race, well, the challenge against the top eight for the current contenders for the finals.
You've joined The Breakfast Club.
If you want to consider the final permutations and think you can still make it, I mean, obviously you'd love to play finals if you could.
As opposed to not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can you still play finals, you think, or...?
I don't know. Depends on other results, doesn't it? I mean, you guys, I promise you, you spend so much more time on that than I do. I don't even look at it. And I'm aware because it gets through via osmosis, but I don't sit down there with a ladder predictor. We just work really hard on trying to become a good team.
Well, that's interesting. 27 past 7 on a Monday morning. Brad Scott talking about the ladder predictor because Chris Scott
correct
spoke about the ladder predictor after the game, saying that he did do a few permutations,
about 500 times
calculations about what might look what the season might look like for the Cats. So the brothers not on in sync about the ladder predictor, Jim.
I'll tell you what, they always give you a word of the day, don't they? The
Scots. Osmosis. How good was osmosis getting into the post match presser? Do you ever put any osmosis in, Rocket?
I think I might have once or twice. The journey, you jack them all up at some stage. Yeah.
Now, just to his point, and to the Scott boys' discussion points that talked about the ladder predictor across the weekend, when you were doing your AFL coaching, Rocket, not long ago, did you find yourself in a position when you're in contention or sort of hovering and playing with the calculations and finding out where you might be and what you needed to do?
That you certainly knew where you were at. There's no doubt about that. People would talk to you about it. Not in a big way, but you would. Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, if you want, and then you'd work out: do you need to tell the players? They know anyway, so you more likely don't talk that as a playing group. But you certainly know yourself. Yeah, you look at it.
So their performance yesterday, as you said before, when you first came on, 28 points up they were against the Western Bulldogs, who don't have a hell of a lot to play for. And then all of a sudden, it goes pear-shaped real quick in the second half. It's 9-3, and it's curtains for the Kangaroos. What happens? And what's your feedback? If you're Brad Scott today, in your review, what are you analysing?
Well, I didn't see a lot of the game. I saw actually the first half and didn't see the second half. I noticed they had two or three weeks ago, they didn't have a good performance. They looked tired, except for the one in Tassie. They, either side of that, they haven't looked their same sharp self.
Yep.
Whether Higgins and that injury and whatever, I'm not too sure, but they seem to have... Hearn had that one big game, but has struggled. They seem as if they've hit a wall, and they were a bit more efficient with the ball yesterday in the first half, and then after half-time, it looks like the Bulldogs just owned the footy, and they three players rack up 40 possessions.
Which is the first time that's happened in footy history, I think.
So no one's sitting on them. De Bont got a lot of ball outside. He dominated the third quarter, but he had 14 possessions, but a lot of them on the outside. He didn't win on the inside. So they controlled the in and the out. And so I don't think they're going to make it. And I would think, from what I'm hearing, who they're trying to target, they're looking for some outside run, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm.
So whether it's Aaron Hall, whether it's Polak, obviously Gaff they were, so Gaff is probably going to stay now at West Coast. But... so they're looking for some outside run. So he's identifying that... what it seems like. So that seems to be their area that they need to improve.
By the way, Tiger Woods has just made another birdie, two in a row. He's now one behind, and it is awesome watching what he's doing at the moment. Just on North Melbourne, do you have to, if you're Brad Scott, and even maybe a North Melbourne supporter, have to actually, under those circumstances of yesterday, take a step back and go, well, actually, we've had a really good year, above expectation. You know, we can't be too disappointed in what happened yesterday, or do we get really disappointed?
Not yet. You're still playing for finals. You can do that at the end of the year and your exit interviews and your wash-ups of what your season's been. No way do you accept that. They've had 102 more possessions, the Bulldogs. Yeah, the old throwaway line, come to play, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it was witch's hats.
But it was 102 more possessions.
Yeah, it was interesting, though, watching that yesterday, because I was taking notes to ask Rocket this, with the way they got their disposals. I mean, Lachie Hunter's had 44, which is an equal career high. Marcus Bonapelli had the most possessions he's ever had. McRae ended up getting to 40, and Caleb Daniel was the other one. But a lot of them are the little 1-2, 1-2-3s, yeah, and all that sort of stuff. So when you're in the coach's box, are you aware of not only the numbers, but what the numbers actually are, if that makes sense? Like,
yeah, you are. Like, there's 40 and there's 40, isn't there? So yeah, is the, if it's the old 1-2, no, that doesn't, and are the possessions hurting you? So if you're an opposition coach, it's where they get them, yeah, and actually what they do with them. So in the olden days, 5 years ago, some bloke might get 35, but 25 of them are in the back 50, a midfielder. So it doesn't really hurt you as an opposition. So you take that on board, but it's like Tom Mitchell, it's death by a thousand cuts. If there's not enough pressure on those hands, and he's actually releasing someone who actually can do something. Because in the first half, the Bulldogs looked terrible going inside 50. Magic Doors just marking everything. They're just bombing it, as we talked about Melbourne, Jim Novi. So obviously they've changed their method, and North then have allowed the Bulldogs exits from this contested situation where their hands have got them out, a bit like in 16. Then they're able to do it because to score that freely. So obviously their pressure has dropped around the footy.
So half 8 goals in the third quarter from the Bulldogs last week against St Kilda. They go and do it again to go from behind to in front yesterday. What's changed from the Dogs? Where has this come from? Because this was like watching the Bulldogs from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I don't know what's changed, to be honest with you, but I watched them and there seems to be, talking about Kangaroos and their lack of energy in the last couple of weeks, what I've noticed from the Bulldogs, there seems to be a, and I'm not sure whether it's a free hit syndrome, but they seem to be playing with a bit more freedom to go and play the brand that they want to play and believe in it again. Because I think there was one of the issues with the Dogs in the first half of the year was because they'd had different personality week in, week out with so many injury concerns, they actually didn't believe they could do what they needed to do. And I reckon they can now. I reckon they do now. They just look like a team that are confident and fully aware of what style of football they need to be playing. And that's what I saw in this game yesterday from the bits that I saw. And I saw the second half, Rocket, so I saw the good half for the Doggies fans. They played like a finals team. They played like a real contender yesterday.
They did.
Yeah. And it's, I think the side has been more settled in recent weeks,
yeah,
as far
no
as
doubt.
Where they're playing. Like,
no
doubt. You know, Johannesson is just back to playing the half-back flank.
Yeah.
Bont is back playing centre bounces with a bit more time going forward, whereas he's been, obviously with his injuries, you know, injuries have forced a lot of these. Mm. So I'm not saying it's all, you know, coaching manoeuvres. They've had these forced changes. You know, the Bont's had the hip and things like that, so he's had to play forward. Wallace is just back playing in around centre bounces. So a lot of guys who are where they're comfortable, where they know how to play their best footy, are all in their best position. You know, Caleb Daniel, that high half forward, getting up. You know, there's not all this within games, just, you know, mix and matching and all that going on. So they just, they look like a more settled side and just playing a game with the guys who they play good footy with.
Yeah, and they're a handball running team, the Bulldogs. That's what they are. That's what Beveridge has built. That's what the players seem to be. They don't seem to be a kicking team. And you look through even just the numbers yesterday, you can read into it what you like. It was 216 kicks to 228 handballs. I reckon high handball numbers are good for the Bulldogs because that's what they know. That's what they've trusted.
Yeah, because if they miss the handball, then the game's in close where they like it anyway. So they bring lots of numbers around the ball.
And they feed it out. Yeah. I think the other thing is, I think you're right with players playing in the correct position, like Essendon early in the year with Stringer and Hooker, Johannesson half-back, but then finding someone like a Dunkley who can play in the mid, who's a bigger body mid, and I think that's going to be a plus for them because having that bigger player in there who can win the footy and can distribute by hand, I think takes the pressure off their smaller player. So,
yeah, it was a really interesting day yesterday for just seeing that game the way it was played. It was a good game, and the Bulldogs played the sort of footy I kind of expect from them.
But that's right.
It wasn't a surprise, but it's like, well, where's this been? You know, like, this is what we think they should do. They had a lot of injuries through the year, which is, I think, played a part in them a little unsettled, but it was the game style. It just looked normal again.
Yeah, that's right. I think they got a bit funky early in the year.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yep, I agree.
From the coach's box, and now they're back to meat and potatoes, we talked about before.
Yeah.
And they trust it and they believe in it and they can do it.
Hey, guess what?
What's happened?
Adam Scott has made a birdie. He is one off the lead. So it's Koepka at 14 under, Scott and Tiger at 13 under. They've sort of got clear. That's Koepka on the path. No, he's just put it within about 12 feet, but Adam Scott is also within 12 feet.
Yeah, he makes bogey there.
But so is Brooks. Brooks is there.
He's there, but Adam's just as close.
Don't put the slows on my man Brooks at the moment.
Well,
please. I'm going to slab on this.
I don't know what I want.
I want to get to a break. Rocket's going to hang around, talk more footy with us from round 21 after this.
Victoria's own Breakfast Club.
A one-on-one, then Pedersen quickly over the top. Hogan, flies! That takes one of the marks of the year.
No doubt, one of the marks of the year. Just about to get the keys to the car after that performance. Isaac Heaney yesterday at the MCG was an absolute ripper. Rodney Eads with us talking about the action in round 21 of the AFL. Good hanger, Rocket?
It was. His ability to control it, even in when he's losing his space awareness and all that. Normally, blokes will sort of fall out and they'll try and grab it, but he kept the footy. It was a great leap, wasn't it?
The amazing thing about that mark was he initially was going to spoil it. That was, yes. And there's a great photo sort of compilation from Michael Wilson, who's a wonderful photographer. He's actually got a beautiful angle of it where the first shot is of him actually, you know,
with the fist.
With the fist, and then you go, oh, actually, I might just mark it.
I just take a big hand.
Take the car. So, but his ability in that last quarter to go back and just settle things down for someone so young was incredible.
Took three intercept marks in the last quarter.
I think that won the goal square, apart from the big leap. That one in the goal square was a really, very good mark.
And that was on Pedersen too. Much bigger man, that one in the goal square.
He can still win the Brownlow.
Give us a spell.
250-1.
Rocket, the rivalry between Hawthorn and Geelong lived up to expectations on Saturday at the MCG. The Hawks prevailing by 11 points in the end. They find themselves now in the top four. Can you believe that?
They've done a really good job, haven't they? I'm not trying to be smart here, but you look at squads on paper, and it's dangerous rating teams on paper, as we know, but you wouldn't think that they'd be a top four team. So they've done an excellent job. They've got Sicily come back, McAvoy to come back.
Yep.
And there was someone else, apart from Birchall, there's another one. There was three. There was three players. Anyway,
check that for you.
They get those players back. They're a chance. So they're playing really well. Their system's as good as anybody's, and they've got this not a quick side, but this goal scoring power up forward for the smalls. And Bruce has gone to another level as a player. Ruffy didn't play, so
yeah, Ruffy
my belt.
Yeah, there you go.
So Sicily will be a real handy in when he gets back. And Segler's doing a good job, except for he's kicking a goal.
Well, he kicked a nice one. He kicked a pretty important one at one stage, didn't he? Six. Yeah. But you're right, but it's amazing. And you're right about the team on paper, and you should never judge it on paper. But what Clarkson's, the genius of Alistair Clarkson to mould groups after group and player after player to become what he needs them to be seems to be remarkable, Rocket.
It is.
His insight into players, let alone the system and strategy of the game, is
and I think their system and their strategy is A-grade, but they're, again, like the Sydney model, to play to the system and play their roles so they don't have to be stars. And then it's interesting, they're not stars, but they end up being very good players by playing their role and doing what they're good at rather than trying playing outside. There's so many players I've seen in AFL football who've got talent, who think they're a really good player, play outside their capabilities, end up being a crap player because they won't do what they're told and they won't play to the system.
Now, I'm interjecting here because Adam Scott made his putt for birdie and Brooks Koepka did not make his putt for birdie. Yes. So Adam Scott is now equal leader in the PGA Championship. Tiger Woods has lipped out for par a couple of holes ahead. So as it stands, Scott and Koepka have got a bit of a break. They're two clear of Tiger with still about six holes to play.
Right,
struggling to really focus here, to be honest.
Stay with us.
Rocket, would this be his best effort, Clarkson? Obviously, he won the 2008, I guess, before their time, that group, and then obviously the three-peat. Would this be his best coaching effort to go again, say, with a third group, if you will?
Yeah, I think from the middle of last year. Because the Suns, we beat Hawthorn twice last year, been by 80 points, and then they lost their first three, I think. And then by mid-year, it was a reset, if that's the right phrase.
Yes,
didn't tip the building to them. And they are where they are now. So they've done exceptionally well. And, yeah, probably would be his best effort, to be honest, because people would think that they in free fall and go down.
One of the things, Half, that Isaac's spoken to us about all through the year was the need to improve that connectivity of midfield to forward. So we're seeing, obviously, Bruce and Gunston play unbelievably well at the moment, but Isaac had said to us all year, we've got to be better with that kick inside 50, and it sort of had plagued them for the first half of the year that, yeah, they were set up really well behind the ball. We can sort of trust that, but we've got to get our offence better. And I think that's one of the key reasons why there's been this improvement from Hawthorn.
Well, I think he's one of the key reasons, in fairness. He, again, has become that link player between the middle and the ground, the forward, and then his goal kicking as well. Kicked another three on the weekend, I think it was, from Isaac Smith. And he's become an outstanding player, Isaac Smith.
Isn't it interesting the contrast between Isaac Smith and Tom Mitchell, that Tom Mitchell gets his 30 or his 40 every week. Isaac only has his sort of between 20 and 25, but you kind of remember Isaac more than you do Mitchell because of the damaging nature of his disposals and his running power.
Yeah, I think he carries it, doesn't he? Breaks a line and then his ability to kick it 50 to 60 metres consistently. But that's a good balance. I mean, it's a yin and the yang, isn't it? By having that rather than having them all the same. So Mitchell, they can, even though he got tagged, can rely on him winning tough, tight ball and can feed out, winning clearances.
22 disposals a game, but he's kicked 24 goals for the year and a goal assist.
There's no midfielder in the competition, particularly playing his role, that's got over 20 goals.
So here's a question. If you're playing Hawthorn, who do you tag?
Isaac Smith.
Yeah, okay.
Which some teams have done, particularly early in the season, and limited his influence and the Hawks' effectiveness as a result. Mm. But it seems to be sort of thrown out the window in the last couple of weeks, Rocket. No one's going near him.
Yeah, so I think there's space in footy to sit on two. So if you sit on Mitchell, and you've probably just had a real tough, tight tagger, I don't think you're going to lose a lot internally, but if you can cut Smith out and his ability to carry the footy.
Now, you were in the headlines, Jimmy, over the weekend.
No, you're a disgrace.
Over your comments about Geelong.
Jumped to quickly to a disgrace. You got to talk to me.
Because I know where it's going.
You got to talk to me about something.
What did he bag Geelong
well,
about?
Well, I'm going to allow you to clarify your comments and how it was
couldn't
seen.
Couldn't believe what he said.
Geelong. Now, I'm not going to lead you down a path here. I'm just going to ask
said,
you.
Is that the one where you said they were disappointing?
Well, along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Geelong, I still think will make the finals.
So do I.
But how would you describe their season to this point and their performance on the weekend?
It's been average. It's just average. And this is where people read headlines and don't actually listen to what I say. I think the word being thrown around by R&D here is as big a letter as I've ever seen on our screen. Rank. I never called Geelong rank. I got given three options. And out of the three options, I said it was closer to the last one, which had the word rank in. I never said rank.
Never.
Ever,
I can back him up there.
Yeah, that's why I'm giving you. But I want
this
you to.
This is what the world we live in. That everyone slams someone if they give some critical feedback.
Yeah.
I think if you asked Chris Scott, Patrick Dangerfield, Joel Selwood, any of the leaders, if they were to miss the finals, would it be a big failure? It certainly would be. Now, you go through their list. I mentioned Chris Scott voted by the coaches as being the hardest coach to coach against. We're talking about Matthew Scarlett, Nigel Lappin, experienced coaching panel, winning records, finals, all that. Dangerfield, Selwood, Ablett, Mitch Duncan, Tim Kelly, Sam Menegola. We've got best and fairest winners in some stage of their career in Scott Selwood, Mark Butsaf, Tom Stewart's been spoken about as an All-Australian. Cam Guthrie has played 7 years of football. Reece Stanley has. When you go through those...
Tom Hawkins almost career best.
Yeah, Tom Hawkins, sorry. And if I miss him, you keep throwing names at me. You can't have that amount of talent. Plus, you've got a home ground advantage where you bank 8 or 9 wins a season.
Well, why are they then where they are?
Because this is what I'm trying to work out. So people go, why do they let the handbrake off when the game is needed to be win? This is the balance where I reckon they're trying to work out. So their best players, when they play their best footy, is free-flowing attacking. But we always talk about their bottom six or where they're weak is young and inexperienced, and especially in the back half of the ground. So the balance they're trying to do is, how do we protect that and not give up big scores? But then they get caught behind in the game, so then they let the handbrake go. So that's where I reckon they're getting it wrong. They're getting the balance wrong of how much do we play free-flowing football, take the game on. When they do that, they don't set up well behind the ball or spread away from the contest, so they get scored against. So they play this Dow defensive style of footy to, you know, shut down sides, because what does Chris Scott say every week? I'm a defence first coach. So that's his natural, you know, bent to coach that way. So he's trying to shut the game down first, but it gets him caught in a hole in a rut, because Ablett and Dangerfield and these guys don't play that way naturally. They want to just, let's just play footy. Let's just take the game on.
What are you doing if you're in Geelong's coach's box, Rocket?
Certainly be worried a little bit about the inconsistency. But I think what Jimmy's saying's right. But Hawthorn have got the good balance.
Yeah.
They defend really well, and then they'll attack off that. So it seems that Geelong are, when they defend, it's just a shutdown defence. And they need to be able to defend and then have some attack off that. I suppose people querying, if you've got the talented midfield, the big three, as they say, then you've got Duncan, Kelly, Mangola. So their top six is better than anybody else's top six. GWS's top four, I reckon, is as good as anyone. But the top six, why don't they be able to win games? So, or as many games as they should.
They should smack Freo and Gold Coast.
Oh, yeah, they'll make the finals.
They'll make the finals, and then they're probably likely to catch a side at the MCG. So as much as we're hammering them, there's also a chance that they could get into the second week of the finals here.
But they're making it far too difficult for themselves with the way that they're playing at the moment.
I agree.
With the list they've got.
Yes, and that was the point I was making. And look, if you picked up the phone, anyone in Geelong said, oh, missing the finals? That's a failure.
Interesting times. My belief is never more than ever is the sum of the collective 22 more important in footy. You can have your 10 superstars if you like, but if you haven't got a really strong 22, if you're not batting as deep as you can, then you are vulnerable.
Or your system works exceptionally well, because I wouldn't have thought Hawthorn's bottom six were any better than other teams' bottom six, to be honest.
But again, playing back to your comment before about playing within the framework and just doing the easy and thing play. Often.
Your bottom six has got to be role players and can be disciplined enough to play their role and do that to the best of their ability.
You've got to trust them.
They have made interesting selection choices, Geelong, in recent times, because they've got some more experienced players. I'm not saying they're top end. They'd still come in and be their bottom six, but they're more experienced. So they've got Thurlow, Murdoch, Hall and Smith and a few others in their VFL. But there must be a plan that we're going to go with the super young. You know, like Fogarty, O'Connor.
Cunico?
Yeah, Canuccio. Jermaine Jones, all these sort of guys. Yeah. So it's clearly a directive, you know, or a direction the club's going.
You said they're ranked. We need to get to a break. We'll come back and
rank
talk.
Outsider.
Rank outsider. We'll talk about the Giants after this. I want to see what Rocket reckons about the Giants and their injury woes.
Tigers just put it to a foot.
Game on.
Come on,
Raiders.
Tiger.
We'll keep you updated after this. And Rocket Eater's here with us talking footy. It's a dynamic little morning here on the Breakfast Club. Rocket, the Giants are in third position somehow with the injuries they've had. And they lose a couple of soldiers again on the weekend. Heath Jaw being probably the main one out of the defensive system. How big a challenge is it going to be, talking about continuity before, for the Giants to go all the way through from here?
I think it'll be difficult for them. Who's to come back? Green, but the continuity will be a problem for him, even though he's a star. Kelly might miss one, but he'll be right.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Shaw said at best it will be six. So grand final will be 7 weeks away. I think he misjudged about the draw. But he'll be a bit of a loss. I reckon where they might find their biggest issue with their players out is their height. So Simpson being out, Himmelberg's jumping up, which is good, but having Cameron, so Lobb's got to go on the ruck. He's not a great ruckman at this stage. I think he will be down the track. He's just a bit light, but that's taking another forward out to support Cameron. So
would it give them a bit of confidence, though, Rocket, that against a Sam Jacobs, who is one of the best ruckmen in the competition, that it didn't have a massive impact on things, that they didn't have that recognised ruckman?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's no doubt. But there's 6 weeks left. There's six games, and all of them are big games, but certainly the finals. Look, when they had their bad patch, Geelong belted them, and then they had a lot of injuries. The media here in Melbourne were questioning their character. I couldn't believe that. They've got a hard edge to them. They're mentally tough. And to do what they did on Saturday night, they'll hang in there. And their running ability and their midfield strength. So they're the to me the one that can still challenge Richmond, but have they got the soldiers? Will they actually? Because if you can't afford to lose any more, there's 6 weeks left. You're a chance to lose someone. So I think it just maybe run short.
Run short for the Gold Coast. Adelaide are out of contention. Richmond too good for the Suns. Jack's 10 goals. We don't see 10 goals these days very often, and he's had 12 marks inside forward 50, I think it was, 14 for the game, 26 possessions. Have you seen a more complete game this year from a forward particularly?
And I reckon 8 of those marks were on the lead with a paddock in front of him by himself. Like, I just couldn't believe. And then I know Dimmer put Martin forward, so they obviously had May go to him, which is a good matchup. But that released Jack. Jack's the dangerous one then. He had 10-6. He kicked 10-6 and gave 4 scoring opportunities away. He gave 3 goals and a point away.
He outscored Gold Coast.
By plenty.
Hmm.
And by back heaps. Again. He's on the second lap. it was a complete game. And he's missed 3 set shots. But I thought it was a quite unselfish game. As well, he still plays his normal game, but just the opportunities just open up for him, and he was left one-on-one with Kolodziejczyk at times, and his forward craft and his strength was just too smart. He's just, and they've pushed him in the lead, and he's done the figure eight behind him, pushed, and then he's just having plenty of space. He's played exceptionally well. The thing I was impressed with Richmond was, would they maintain their intensity and their rage against the bottom side? And they were able to do that. Mm. Their pressure in the first quarter was outstanding, should have been further in front, and then the third quarter they just split the game open.
So, before we let you go, has the gap stayed the same between Richmond and the chasing pack, or is it reduced or is it increased, do you think?
I think stayed the same. The thing in Richmond's favour is their depth's now increasing, they're getting players back. So they've had 4 or 5 injuries, but with all due respect, those 4 or 5 were going to be replaced reasonably easily. So that's not a big... But what it does now is gives them depth. So they do get injuries, they're fine. Playing Soldo was a good option. Nankervis could have played, but they've got to get some games into Soldo in case he's required in a final.
Yep.
So their system's pretty good, but you've got to shift the ball on them. You've got to move the ball. If you play down the line, they're the best down the line side. As defending and their method, you've got to prepare to take a risk to try and get it on the 45 short and then go quickly to get to the other side of the ground to shift them. And if you don't do that, you're actually playing to their hands.
It's great to chat to you always on a Monday morning, Rocket. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks, guys.